This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating World Cup Preview Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good, Josh. We're trying to decide if it's been too long or just long enough that we've been on hiatus since the end of the Premier League season.
Yeah.
And I don't think we reached a consensus there.
You feel like you got a vacation. I feel like it never stopped for me. Maybe it's because this is the problem with social media. It's like it never stops. It's always there.
I've been living inside Loris Karius's head for the last 2 weeks, it feels like.
Yeah, maybe it never went away. It feels like it never totally went away because that game cast such a long shadow, that Champions League final. So for anyone who is maybe listening for the very first time, Brent and I run an English Premier League fantasy podcast. We've been doing it for 3 years. We'll be doing it for the fourth year come July, right? We'll be back in July, which is amazing. We're just here now, right? There's no stopping us
at this point. Yeah.
So we're doing a little, something a little bit different, obviously. This is our first ever World Cup podcast. We typically look at the English Premier League. So now we're going to try to broaden our horizons a little bit and do a World Cup fantasy game. We actually have three different ways that you can do fantasy with us, which we'll get to in a minute. But Brandon, what have you been up to the last few weeks? Anything notable? Anything
well,
exciting?
the first notable thing is my team, Fulham, up the Cottagers. We're coming to the Premier League.
Yes.
Every longtime listener of Always Cheating knows exactly where Josh and I were when that happened. We were at the Black Horse Tavern. We were hanging out there with our friend Matt Burton. And what a glorious and sound defeat of Aston Villa. We destroyed Jack Grealish. I'm impressed that he actually was able to walk off of the pitch at the end of the match on his own two legs.
Raked a few times. It was.
Yeah.
He looked pretty good, though. I think Jack Grealish makes a Premier League squad next year.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Villa fan, my heart goes out to you because the same would have happened to the Fulham squad if they had not been promoted. But that Villa squad is just going to be blown to bits. Yep. All the old guys are either going to retire. Yeah, right. So I think Grealish should take the paycheck where he can and get into a Premier League club side.
Yeah, that was amazing. I was there for that.
I was just going to say to finish that point. More Fulham content. So Fulham are playing in the World Cup. It's going to be really terrific. It has been a long time. I think maybe not since Michigan State won the NCAA basketball tournament in 2000 have I actually been rooting for a team that won anything. Like, yeah. I felt like I had a vested interest. Now, granted, I am not from the west side of London.
And granted, what they won was third place.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hey, third place is still better than an Arsene Wenger trophy. So I'll take that any day. Yeah,
that's true.
What about you, Josh? What's been going on in your life?
Well, other than watching football matches with you, I don't know. I went to the Bronx Zoo. That was fun.
What was your favorite animal there?
What was my favorite animal? Probably the tigers. Maybe that's a cliched answer, but they were pretty fantastic. They're much larger than you think. Animals in general, like big animals. You forget how big a bear is. A bear is gigantic, really quite large.
So you got the tigers prowling. They were prowling around. They weren't hiding in a damp cave.
One was bathing, one was prowling. Exactly. So it was they were
big bathing cat. I love it.
Yeah, no, the bears were bathing. The cat
even better.
Yeah, the cats were lounging. So yeah, that was it. And hung out with the I had to this is a weekly fantasy podcast, Brendan, that we do. So I had a lot of family time I had to make up for. I missed a few birthdays, missed a few anniversaries.
You were fighting in the Gulf War or something like that.
Yeah, I really had a lot to make up for. I had a few funerals to go to. It was a very active time. Uh-huh. Thankfully, they held them until, they waited until the season was over so I could go, which was a nice gesture. So, yeah. Brandon, the World Cup, it's here. Starts next week. There are a lot of different types of I like a little juice, as you do, right? I like a little juice to to my matches.
You and I put at least $50 American down just between each other during the Premier League season, and that is that's just strictly for bragging rights. I feel like you gotta go.
It's not even counting our mini leagues. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
hence the Patreon page.
Exactly. That's just to cover our gambling debts. We like a little juice. We like a little gambling. We have three different ways that you can, the World Cup is the most exciting tournament in the world. But we thought we could make it, 1% more exciting. And here's how we're going to do it. One is our Patreon set and forget game. Brandon, can you describe this game?
Yeah, I'd love to. So to play our set and forget game, you have to become a Patreon supporter of Always Cheating.
You get what to become a Patreon supporter.
Yeah, and that is a perk for sure. And you get bonus podcast episodes. You get invited to special leagues during the Premier League season. You get
discounts
invited to
discounts on new merch.
Yeah, we've got a merch coming in the fall where you'll get discounts. We have a Slack chat forum that is just bursting with hot takes and opinions on transfers and all that, particularly during the season. Yeah, and there's a knockout league, all sorts of fun stuff. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/alwayscheating and throw a couple coins in the jar to support what Josh and I do here at Always Cheating. And if you do so, you get invited to what is my favorite way, I think, predicting my favorite way to enjoy the World Cup, where you're not picking these elaborate fantasy squads, you're just picking teams. The way we've set it up is according to FIFA rankings, and we've got eight different pots. So it's not like the eight different groups in World Cup. Pot one, Germany, Brazil, Belgium, Portugal. Pot two, Argentina, Switzerland, France, Spain, and on down the line till you get to pot eight, and you've got the worst four teams in the tournament. No offense, Japan, South Korea, Russia, Saudi Arabia. So set and forget. All you have to do is pick one team from each of the eight pots, and the rest is up to us. We just keep score of how many points your picks get for wins and draws, bonus points for the advancing ranked, through the tournament.
Exactly. The lower ranked teams get more points if they win games later on. It's sort of we're trying to encourage people to take some risks.
Yeah, the art of the game is much like in a lot of fantasy is how do you pick in the margins? Pot five, Croatia, Iceland, Sweden, Costa Rica. Maybe whoever picks right there has got a better chance. But and I save the best for last. Whoever wins our Patreon Set and Forget League is getting a $100 digital gift card to worldsoccershop.com. Josh, we talked a bit about what would be a good prize. Should we offer a shirt of your choice? well, we're just going to give you the money, the $100. Go buy whatever you want at worldsoccershop.com.
Exactly. Yeah, if you haven't been to World Soccer Shop, they've got basically every kit you could possibly think of. I kind of want the Peru kit, man. That's like, I think that's what if I win this, I'm going to give myself that I'm going to rig this, Brandon, so that I win so that I can get the 1982 Peru World Cup kit because it's so awesome.
There you go.
The 78 kit that's awesome. It's one of the two.
Where do you fall? Speaking of kits, where do you fall in the Nigeria jersey? I feel like that's been a little divisive. There is what do you call it? Some backlash on the Nigeria kit now.
I don't know. I'm not like a big green kit person in general, which is funny because I went to Michigan State, but I don't love it. It's too the chevrons, right? It's a little too I actually like a chevron design. This is like we will eventually talk about groups A through D here.
We're going to talk about the many years you spent as an architecture understudy. Is that right? In all your design theory that came from that.
There is like one really cool stock photo that I'm looking at where if you're a model, you probably look good in this kits. But I think everyone else, I'm looking at Alex Iwobi right now and he doesn't look that awesome. So not feeling it, Brandon. It's a thumbs down for me.
Okay, so we've got two other ways to enjoy the World Cup. We've got the Patreon Set and Forget League. What else do we have?
We have the official FIFA World Cup game. If you were on Twitter today or Facebook or our Slack channel, you saw me going on and on about this. We have created our own league within the game. If you would like to join that league, you can either check out the auto join links, which are all over the internet. I really went for it today, Brandon, with posting.
You said you gave it an uppercut. I thought that was an incredible metaphor. Swing.
Or you can just use league code C5EDLKUX. Nobody wrote that down, but just so you know, that's the league code.
We'll jam that into our like Twitter and Facebook bio, so you can find it there. Just find us on social.
Maybe put it in the description for this episode too.
Yeah, just click the show notes on the podcast. Good idea, Josh.
And we already have 101 members in that league, which is great. I mean, for a league that just started a few hours ago. So we have a cool prize for that too, because we are an English Premier League focus podcast. Ultimately, the winner of our FIFA league will get invited onto the podcast to do a preview of a team of their choice going into next season. So if you want to talk about Fulham or you want to talk about Manchester United, whoever you want to talk about, you will be invited on the podcast to a preview pod with us.
So, what if I want to talk about the defunct MLS team, the Tampa Bay Mutiny?
Yeah, or the indoor carpet team, the Detroit City Rockers. You've got lots of options. You can talk. Yeah, so I guess you could talk. You could talk about a team that wasn't a Premier League team, but we would probably bury that at the hour and 40 minute mark.
If you want to be in the prime time broadcast slot of Always Cheating, pick a team that has. Carry some FPL weight to it. Right.
Exactly. So join the official FIFA World Cup game. We'll be talking about that more. We're going to do two podcasts before the World Cup kicks off next week. This is a group A through D preview. Next week we'll do E through H. And in that podcast, we'll talk a little bit more about the game itself. There's some interesting, I don't know if you've taken a look, Brandon, there's some interesting wrinkles. I've started to take a look at the prices a little bit. There's some interesting, some people seem a little undervalued in here. Like, we're actually going to talk about Denmark in this podcast, and Christian Eriksen's available for 9 million, which is a pretty insane price for someone who is like, basically the entire attack is being run through Eriksen for Denmark. So, there's a little bit of edge there. It's kind of fun. Just for the moment, I have Lionel Messi as one of my forwards, and I've never been able to put Messi on one of my fantasy teams before. So
it's been a long time dream of yours.
Exactly. That was right. I have Sergio Ramos in my team right now.
Boo.
So, it's what have you taken a look at it yet, Brian?
I've got an auto-populated team. I mean, for anyone who's gone to the McDonald's site already, it bears some resemblance to the traditional FPL game. I guess I put traditional in scare quotes. But beyond that, it's kind of overwhelming.
You don't know 60% of the players, right?
Yeah, at best.
It's a stressful
At best. What I was intrigued by is the scoring system. So the scoring system is quite similar to FPL, but cool things like if you win a penalty, you automatically get 2 points. Now, as we know, if you win a penalty in a Premier League game with the fantasy game, you might not walk away with any points if whoever takes the penalty misses or it's saved, and that's really annoying. So just the act of winning a penalty gets you 2 points in the McDonald's game, which I think is cool. Also,
yeah, minus really one. Going on about this before the, we even talked about this before the podcast. This is, you were excited.
I wish we could go back and record our re-record our postmortem, because I think that is that's a great improvement to the FPL game. I'm just thinking out loud here.
Yep. The final version, the final way you can play fantasy with us this summer is Starting 11. Starting 11 is a daily fantasy app. They have a brand new World Cup version, which is available on iOS right now. If you have a version, it hasn't been updated yet, you just need to go into the iOS and your Apple store or the Android store and get that updated. Or you can just visit starting11.io. There's a lot of information there about the daily fantasy game. You can play it for money in many places.
You can play it for money now in Germany for the first time. The cash game is available in Germany, which is awesome. Also in UK, Canada, and I think now 33 states in the US have access to the Starting 11 money game. Anywhere else in the world, you can play for free. And if you're queuing up a Starting 11 matchup, feel free to shoot me or Josh a direct message on social media. We'd love to play you. And just real quick, the fun thing about Starting 11 is you can make live in-game substitutions, and the fact that it's daily fantasy, you can just refresh your squad every day and make it something new based on what games you're excited to be watching, and particularly in the group stages when there are so many matches happening at once.
All right, so that's it. Three different ways to play. The Patreon one is set and forget. You win a $100 gift card. You also support the podcast. FIFA World Cup game, you get invited on the podcast. Starting 11, the reasonable man's way to play the game. If you want to just enjoy the matches and then pop on for a little extra juice from time to time, maybe there's like some boring group C matches going on, you know, and you're like, you know what, I just want like a little something extra right now.
A little extra juice.
Exactly.
Smoking like a man who has a problem.
I do have a gambling problem, I know. Gambling being legalized in the United States is such bad news for me. All right, let's get right into our previews, Brandon. I spent a lot of time on these, as did you.
I learned a lot. I think I learned a lot. My hope is that people listening to this podcast might learn a fraction of what I did, because you're all probably much smarter than I am.
Yeah, here's the thing I will note. I have listened to a lot of podcast World Cup previews already. And I get a little distracted. I sort of drift away a little bit during them, because I just don't know the players that well. This podcast will not be quite like that podcast. It'll be a lot more focused on the fantasy game. So we're going to highlight, I'm going to talk about the countries themselves, because I think that's important, but we are going to highlight key players as well. So we want to keep at least one hand in the fantasy world. It's also just a way to focus this stuff, because otherwise it's like,
yeah.
You know, you can just go on and on about, Russia's injuries or whatever. It's like each one of these teams you could do a whole podcast on, so.
Scanning through our running order here, I think the thing that I'm most excited about and will be most useful to our listeners is we've noted the nation's team's nickname in all these groups. So stick around for nothing else other than what the nick is for all these nations.
And we had a question at the top from who got the assist, who said, who is the number one player you hope stays anonymous for pronunciation reasons?
I mean, I wrote up a little preview of Croatia, and there are a lot of itches happening there. And I mean, as in names ending in. And that could get me in a fair amount of trouble. But actually, now that I'm thinking of it, Iceland, their names are bananas. They have diacritics that I have not seen in all my years of using the symbol map on Microsoft Word.
Yeah, it's I had an issue. I got Saudi Arabia. We sort of broke this up, you and I, before we did this podcast, and we each took different groups. I had the Saudi Arabia team, and I was like, man, I'm going to, like, really insult some people, like, if I'm not careful. Like, I really want to be, like, polite and, like, say the names correctly. And I was even, like, saying them in my head in advance so that I would, like, so, you know, not, I'm still going to mess them up, though.
I feel like now that pop culture, TV, movie, podcasts are so popular these days, there is the standard spoiler alert warning. So instead of a spoiler alert warning, we just need to broadcast mispronunciation alert. If you're averse to mispronunciations, just skip ahead 15 minutes when I'll be talking for 30 minutes about what happened to the U.S. national team.
Right. Yeah, that should, maybe we'll actually do that as a Patreon pod later on this summer. What postmortem?
Yeah.
All right. So the first team, we're starting with Group A. First club is Russia. Their team nickname is the National Team. Pretty exciting.
That's so Russian. Nickname. That's like the most Russian thing I've ever heard.
It is. Russia has, you know, a somewhat mixed history in European competitions. They did make the semifinals of the 1966 World Cup. The big story with Russia is that they have so their FIFA rank is 66. They have 0 wins in their last 7 friendlies. They drew 1-1 with Turkey this week. You know, at a glance, Russia is a team that a lot of people have been writing some very negative stuff about. I would just warn people not to underestimate Russian nationalism, which is a which.
Hey, if anyone's fought a war on the Eastern Front, they will not be underestimating this.
Napoleon, Hitler, all of these people will tell you not to underestimate Russian nationalism. There is no way that Vladimir Putin is going to allow this team not to get out of the first round. Okay? It's going to happen.
Much power. That's incredible.
Yeah. That's not even that much power. You know, that's true. One crooked ref. That's all it'll take.
Yeah. That was my one hesitation signing up for the McDonald's game, is now I have an email account with FIFA.com.
Yeah, exactly. So they are... The defense is a bit of a concern. If I were looking at some fantasy assets, they have serious injury problems throughout the defense. I do like that they have a Brazilian guy named Mario Fernandez who plays defense for them. That's kind of fun.
Fits right in.
Yeah, exactly. The defense is where was not where I would be looking if I were looking to bring in Russians. They have a pretty easy group, however. So, I mean, it's possible they get a clean sheet just from the Saudi Arabia match or the Egypt match. There could be a potential for a clean sheet there.
Some hot balls in the draw of that group. A host nation definitely gets favored there.
It is the worst group. We're starting off at the bottom of the totem pole here. the midfielders.
Who else am I looking at?
Yeah, the one player you may have heard of on this team is Alan Zhagoev, who... he's struggled with some injuries this year. He did pick up an assist at midweek versus Turkey. If you feel like, there's some potential for, some like possible scoring potential here with the Russians, I would look at Zhagoev or maybe Smolov, Fyodor Smolov. He's a 6'2", 28-year-old striker. He had 14 goals and 6 assists and 24 appearances in the Russian league this year. And then he's 12 goals and 32 appearances for the Russian national team as well. So, someone to maybe keep an eye on as well. I think it would be smart to have someone from Russia in your fantasy team. I think Alexander Golovin is another person. He's a midfielder. He's had 7 goals and 6 assists on 43 appearances for CSKA Moscow this year. What do you think about Russia, Brandon? Are you...
Well, I totally agree in that it would be smart to find a value proposition attacking for Russia, because they play Saudi Arabia in the opening match of the tournament. The atmosphere is always super electric because of the opening ceremonies, and they're probably going to get, all the street people from Red Square in for this game. And I don't even know if they have street people in Red Square. I'm sure Russia is a lovely country. It's almost guaranteed that Russia scores a goal against Saudi Arabia. And I think those are easy points for you to get in the opening of your fantasy squad.
Yeah. Zhagoev to me is the clear favorite here, partially because, and I guess we're talking kind of through the lens of the McDonald's game right now, or I guess Daily Fantasy too. I really think that with the forward line, there's almost too many great options. I mean, there are just so many. I mean, we're going to get to the Uruguay strikers in a moment. I mean, there are just so many top talents. But I think the midfield is a little trickier. It's a little trickier to fill out your squad.
Yeah.
So I think Zhago Evergolovin are two players to look at there.
Okay, cool.
Saudi Arabia, FIFA rank 67, just nicking right below. Right below, you dropped your drink. You're so excited. Come on. 67. They are nicknamed the Falcons or the Green.
I prefer the green
as well. This is their first time qualifying for the World Cup since 2006, and their best result was a round of 16 finish in the 1994 World Cup. You're really getting a lot of history in this podcast, aren't you, Brandon? This is really
I love it. You're just plugging all this knowledge right into my brain.
Michael Cox, we should note, called this possibly the worst team in the competition. They lost
three. Shots fired by Michael Cox.
No, he went for it. And that was not the worst thing he said about them. They lost 3-0 in their last friendly to Peru. Here's an interesting story about Saudi Arabia. They sent their three best attackers. That's Salem Al-Dosari, Yara Al-Sheri, and Fahad Al-Mawalad. I'm so sorry to my Saudi Arabian listeners.
I think you're doing an ad. I need to say that
because they're cringing right now.
Sure. Yeah.
All three of those players went on loan to La Liga clubs for the second half of the season. You know, and the idea was they would compete in one of the top leagues in Europe.
Okay.
And they had two total appearances between them. Levante. It wasn't like they were just hanging on the bench at Real Madrid. You can't get some matches at Levante, something, you know.
I'm sure they saw some beautiful countryside in Spain, though.
I'm sure they did. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, wouldn't that just for sheer, like, landscapes? The La Liga is the league to be in, right?
I think so. Just kind of sun-drenched.
Italy, you'd get the Alps, and you'd get, like, you know, you'd get Napoli too, you know. So,
I'm kind of a Highland guy myself. I'm heading for the Scottish Premier League.
You want to play all your matches in like a 60 minute drive
in a kilt.
So their three best attackers don't have any match fitness. They don't have a lot of tournament experience. They've been losing their friendlies in the lead up. The one player to watch is their forward Mohamed Al-Sawi. He had 28 goals. He has 28 goals and 39 caps for the Saudi national team. He had 11 goals, 3 assists, and 20 appearances for his club team. I think realistically, I just don't see a lot of value anywhere in the Saudi Arabia squad. I would probably just given that there's 32 teams, you know, you can only have so many players in your squad anyway. I would probably just stay away.
Yeah, I mean, I love to root for the underdog and
root for the green.
I also love to root for the green. I know you really despise green jerseys, but I think I'm going to be pulling for Saudi Arabia pretty hardcore in this group.
Are you? Okay. All right. Are you going to pick them in the set and forget game?
You know, I might. Egypt, I think, stands out as a fan favorite in this group, but the Mo Salah question mark over his injury, which I'm sure we'll get to when you preview Egypt here in a sec.
I hadn't heard of this guy, by the way. In my research, I found out about this guy, Mohamed Salah. He's amazing. What a player.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you should really check him out.
He's got to get the Premier League running at some point, right? He's
fantastic. I know. I mean, he's been languishing at Roma for too long. he needs to move to the Premier League.
So we come to Egypt in Group A. FIFA rank is 46. They were the runner-up at the 2017 African Cup of Nations. This is their first World Cup since 1990. I know they've had some near misses. Bob Bradley was perfect in the first round of qualifying. Yeah. The way they set up qualifying in Africa for World Cup is like a little chancy. I don't know why they do it that way. They have all these qualifying, and then they just play these two-legged matches, and if you give a bad matchup, you're out. So,
Then the Egyptian team under Bob Bradley just went through that horrifying incident, which they got locked in the stadium and there were people just trying to kill them. Just terrifying stuff.
Yeah. So, the issue here is, Salah, of course, amazing, one of the all-time great Premier League seasons. He's supposed to be ready, but his fitness, is still to be determined. They keep coming out with stuff, but I honestly, you can't believe what you're reading right now. I mean, they would say anything, right? I mean, there's things they would
say. Charlie Austin was out for almost an entire season with a dislocated shoulder.
Yeah, I have dislocated my shoulder. I have personally done that before, and it is not an easy recovery. I mean, and I wasn't running 6 miles in, 90 minutes.
Just on your way to your temp job.
Yeah, I was in college at the time. I fell on a flight of stairs. So, Salah has played great for – have I ever told you that story? I'll tell you that story sometime. Much like the story of when I sprained my ankle falling downstairs here in New York.
Save it for the Patreon podcast.
Another good story. Yeah. He's played great for Egypt. 33 goals in 57 caps. We all love Mo Salah, of course. Yes. They're really limping into the tournament, though. They have one goal in their last 4 friendlies. That includes a 3-0 loss to Belgium on Wednesday. It's a very defensive approach. Their approach is really to keep it tight, try to catch Salah on the break. There could be some value in their defense. I actually think that I have Ahmed Hegazi in my team right now.
Sure.
They only conceded 18 goals in manager Hector Cooper's first 32 games in charge. So, the defense is pretty tight. I love that they have a 45-year-old goalkeeper. I mean, that's amazing. That's
he is. So you glossed over the fact that they are the Pharaohs, the right. Nickname. Yeah. So I do feel like the OG Pharaoh has got to be the 45-year-old goalkeeper.
Yeah, I think.
Or is he a Sphinx?
I don't know. It's like where I feel like we're almost getting into racist territory here, Brandon.
Okay, let's
we're
move
almost,
on.
Yeah, we're so they
these are wonders of the world, Josh.
There are players. That's true. You may have heard of some of these guys. We mentioned Hegazi. Obviously, Mo Salah. Mohamed Elneny is an interesting option. He's a kind of a sneaky good attacker. When he plays in a more upfront position, he can actually score some goals. And he's kind of like, I remember when John Mikel Obi had like that crazy goal scoring run a few years ago.
Sure, at Chelsea.
Like, wait, what are these? No, this is when he was playing for his national team, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he never scored goals for Chelsea. That was the whole thing.
Yeah, and then when he actually played for Nigeria, it was like they played him up front, and he was like, he turned into Didier Drogba. It was amazing. Mohamed Elneny, stinking attacker, 5 goals for Egypt, probably about that number for Arsenal over the last 3 years or so. There's Ramadan Sobi, who, another name you recognize. He is really, he's highly regarded. He's still pretty young, but he's never really impressed at Stoke. And,
I feel like he does bring a touch of class to that Stoke City, the poorly relegated Stoke City squad. And I did find it surprising that he never really broke into that team.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it was just because they had these like super old school English managers,
Sure.
Who knows?
Well, I guess you have the English, opportunity to play Scottish, Jeff Cameron. You've got to take it.
Right. Exactly. So forwards, there's really no non-Salah forwards to pay attention to. But speaking of forwards, Brandon, the last club in Group A is Uruguay. By far, the class of Group A. FIFA rank is 17. Their nickname is La Celeste, aka the Sky Blues. Legendary World Cup overachievers, as we all know. They won the 1930 World Cup, 1950 World Cup. Finished in the semifinal stages of the 2010 World Cup. That's really when I fell in love with Uruguay. I think a lot of us did. Diego Forlan, was just amazing.
One of the most beautiful men to ever play the beautiful game.
Luis Suarez he took the heart. It was like an Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom moment at the end of the Uruguay-Ghana match when Luis Suarez just, broke them, right? Intentional handball, missed the penalty afterwards. Anyway, I love this club. I mean, the country, it's like 3.5 million people in the country, and they're led by they have 3 players that I'm really excited about, all of whom I would love to actually, I realistically, I'm probably only going to have one of these 2 forwards in my fantasy squad. But I can almost guarantee that, I mean, the first player in your fantasy squad really should be one of Luis Suarez. And Edinson Cavani, because they're in a really bad group. They're the best team in that group. The defenses are not impressive in this group. Edinson Cavani has got 42 goals and 100 caps. Luis Suarez has 50 goals and 97 caps. You know, it's and they're fun players, you know, for to boot. Not a lot to see in the midfield. And then in defense, you've got Diego Godin, who is Atletico Madrid defender, Uruguay team captain. You know, many people know him from scoring some really massive goals in crucial times for Atletico Madrid in the year that they won the league, which I think was like 4 years ago now. I know he scored a goal in the final match of the season to draw with Barcelona and win the league. And then I remember he scored, I think it was either the first goal or the equalizing goal in their Champions League final too against Real Madrid. So
you're a powerhouse of Diego Godin knowledge.
A big fan. I really like Diego Godin. A big fan of Diego Godin. He's also on my team right now.
Obviously.
So what do you think about Uruguay? Do you have any thoughts?
I think you're spot on there that Uruguay is a must from the fantasy perspective, because they are just going to sweep up through this group, which is otherwise kind of terrible. It will be a real shame if Mo Salah doesn't get a run out at all during the group stage and Egypt just falls away.
Because Mo Salah is a fantasy option, not for like league, right? Not for if you're doing the McDonald's game, the FIFA game, you can't have Mo Salah, right? It's just too risky.
No, yeah, and I guess I'm not suggesting from the fantasy perspective. Just it would be nice to see Salah compete against a team as stacked as Uruguay just for supremacy in a group like this. But as it stands, it looks like Uruguay is a runaway favorite.
Yep. All right, Brandon, I'm going to take a break from talking for a second.
Take a break. Relax. It's on to Group B. That's B for Brandon. This is my special group. This group is really interesting because we have two powerhouses, European powerhouses, Portugal and Spain. And they play each other in the first match of Group B play.
So awesome.
And it's really going to determine how the group unfolds. So Spain versus Portugal, and then the other match is Iran versus Morocco. And if you're Iran and Morocco, you feel like you have to win when you're playing in that match, because you have to have 3 points going in facing then Portugal and Spain if you have any chance of surviving the group. So I feel like the opening two matches of Group B are just going to be insanely good. I am hopeful of that. So,
yep.
Portugal, hilarious nickname, the Navigators. It just makes me think of that Disney movie in which Pee Wee Herman voices the spaceship Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah. I somehow did not know that was Portugal's nickname. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, maybe Google really screwed me on that one, but I'm pretty sure they're the Navigators. And they're flying high after their victory at
well
the
done.
Euro. Yeah, it's not my fault. They're flying high after their win at the Euros in 2016.
The worst tournament ever?
Oh yeah. So you know, I'm not really buying this FIFA rank of number four. They do have arguably the best player in the world in Ronaldo. We don't really need to talk about him, but sure. we're in the dying stages of the NBA finals right now, in which all the headlines are LeBron is like falling to his knees under the weight of carrying this team all the way through the NBA playoffs. And that is, we're going to see a lot of that in the World Cup. I think like looking at Messi with the really dysfunctional Argentina squad, and of course Ronaldo with Portugal. I do not expect Portugal to be high flying just on the basis of what they did in the Euros in 2016. My lasting memory of Portugal, speaking of the World Cup, though, is you, me, in my apartment, watching the U.S. Take the lead off of a Jermaine Jones wonder strike the second half.
Amazing only
for the U.S. to totally blow it in the I think it was the 93rd or 95th minute of extra time to get a draw.
Yeah.
They still knocked Portugal out in the group stages there.
Pretty hairy, if I recall. Pretty nerve-wracking. Yeah.
So recent warm-up friendlies for Portugal, they drew against Tunisia 2-2, scoreless against Belgium. I guess to hold a team like Belgium scoreless, these are just tune-up matches. I don't want to read too much into them, but I guess that speaks somewhat well to Portugal's organization. But their defense is pretty crusty. Pepe, the murderous marauder who used to be in the back for Real Madrid. I am so excited to see Pepe and Diego Costa in this opening match just pull each other's limbs off and beat each other to death with them. I think it's going to be,
will be amazing.
Truly amazing. Yeah.
I mean, when you have Sergio Ramos in that game too.
Yeah, there will be definitely a lot of murderous activity happening in the opening game. Shocking omission from the Portugal squad, the game eater. Eater, former Swansea striker who scored the game
winning goal. Eater or the bad eater?
He's the bad eater. The bad eater. So he's not in the squad, but check out 34-year-old veteran striker Ricardo Quaresma, who is now playing at Besiktas. And he is an old man at 34, but he is all about flair play. When I was doing a little bit of research, I found a recent Rabona assist that Ricardo had in recent league play. Beautiful. Mwah. So he may actually be the one feeding Ronaldo all of the assists that he'll be scoring from, assuming Ronaldo does score goals. So check out Ricardo Quaresma. West Ham is apparently big in Portugal, Josh. João Mário and José Font on the squad, and William Carvalho, he lost out on a loan deal to West Ham recently, but now he's linked to Everton.
What happened to José Font? Wasn't he like, he made that loan move, and then he like lost his place in the squad, right?
Yeah, I think during the transfer window, West Ham told him he had no place left in the team, and he peaced out.
He's playing for a Chinese club now.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of other familiar FPL faces here: Bernardo Silva from Manchester City and Cedric Suarez of Southampton. So
Silva really came on well at the end of the season. I wasn't a huge fan of Silva the first half of the year. I don't know. I mean, maybe just not a huge fan of him from like a fantasy perspective. But he has actually like a player you could see me having like a sneaky good World Cup, like kind of like who's the player in Colombia? I can't remember forgetting his name right now, who was amazing 4 years ago.
James Rodriguez.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, so I could see Bernardo Silva having a James Rodriguez type World Cup.
Yeah, so there's Portugal in a nutshell. And then Spain, La Roja, the Reds, or something to that effect. FIFA ranked number 8. I think Spain is probably a dork house. Spain is probably a dark horse to go quite far in the World Cup. I mean, granted, it's Spain, so I don't know how dark that horse actually is. But
yeah, they're definitely one of the favorites.
Yeah, like they just have an amazing, amazing looking team. And we'll all remember that match against the Netherlands opening up their 2014 World Cup, where Van Persie scored that wonder diving header.
Goal. One of the, in my opinion, possibly the all-time greatest World Cup goal since I've been watching the World Cup.
Wow. Okay.
I haven't had that caveat. Yep. Since I've been watching, I did not see the hand of God, or the other goal that. Oh my God.
Maradona.
Stop me. Maradona's great goal in the 86 quarterfinal.
Yeah, I do wonder if Spain was just going through we won the World Cup 4 years ago sort of hangover. So we will not let that cloud our judgment here. So recent results, they drew against Switzerland on Sunday, and they're going to play Tunisia in their final tune-up this Saturday. So I guess check out who's scoring goals, who's starting in defense. Obviously, David De Gea is going to be the big man in goal for Spain, a very popular fantasy pick, though. He is the only goalkeeper in the McDonald's game who's priced at 6.5, which is kind of a finger in the eye to all of us.
Bit steep for a keeper.
Hugely talented midfield. I'm going to go out here on a limb, Josh, and recommend Isco and David Silva for picks there in Spain. I think that might do okay. But my bold prediction with Spain is I think they will probably only do as well as Diego Costa does in settling into the tournament. Wow. I think he could be scoring lots of goals for Spain. I think so they'll lean.
You think Lima. He's the starter then? He's the starting forward for them?
Yeah, I would suspect so. I mean, as much as one can predict these lineups, but I mean, who else is going to start up front for them?
I don't know. I need to see a squad sheet, but
I mean, you've got Rodrigo. I mean, these guys I have like a working knowledge, less than working knowledge of.
Yeah, of course.
Rodrigo from Valencia, Lucas Vazquez, who has just 6 caps with Spain, Real Madrid striker. Oh, my favorite, Iago Aspas. I don't know if you remember him.
Oh, yeah, Liverpool.
Brief Liverpool. Bears a striking resemblance to Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory. Just totally fascinated by Iago Aspas. He is definitely not going to be starting up front for Spain. Maybe, I mean, I know he's actually come on and done very well in his stint at Celta Vigo now, so I could see Aspas. Iniesta's, speaking of old people, Iniesta's last World Cup, so pour a little out for old Iniesta.
I will.
Real quick, these other two teams in Group B, Iran, great team nickname, Team Melly. I'm not sure where that actually comes from. Ranked 36 in the world. They've finished last in their group in 2014 against Argentina, Nigeria, and Bosnia. And I remember their kind of heartbreaking match against Argentina, in which they were playing just really stalwart defense, and Messi scored a worldie curling shot from outside the box in the 91st minute to take 3 points off Iran. In their last two friendlies, Greece and Kosovo, they were both canceled. I've got some political issues there. Greece, one of those matches was meant to be played in Turkey, and there are some political issues between Greece and Turkey, as far as I understand it. So that was called off. So match fitness could be an issue here for Iran because they're having trouble setting up some friendlies ahead of the World Cup. Other recent results, they beat Uzbekistan and lost to Turkey, who we were just speaking about in friendlies earlier in May. Players to watch out for. Their star player is going to be at home in Russia. He plays for Rubin Kazan, Sadir Azmoun. And he's been struggling with injury this season, but he's a 23-year-old kid. I'm sure 23-year-olds with an opportunity to show what they're made of at the World Cup, that injury is not going to be so serious that he won't have an opportunity to shine. He scored 23 total goals for Iran.
You talked about going to Rubin Kazan on a scouting mission. Did you actually get out there, or has that happened yet?
I flew a drone over the Rubin Kazan training pitch, so basically all my insights are from there. Last thing about Iran, Ashkan Dejaga. Totally forgot about this guy. Triggered me going back to Fulham's relegation season. Ashkan, actually not a bad player for Fulham that season. He'd come on as a late game sub and do pretty well. But I'm glad that's all passed and Fulham are now back in the Premier League.
Ashkan is one of those tough names that's unfortunately in English translation doesn't... not fantastic.
Yeah. Morocco, Lions of the Atlas.
Wow, that's a good one.
Ranked 42 in the world, Lions of the Atlas. They drew recently against Ukraine and beat Slovakia 2-1 last week. Players to watch out here for Morocco, Hakim Ziyech, 25-year-old star midfielder at Ajax. He scored 9 goals for Ajax this season. Other Moroccan players, Ayoub El Kabi, he scored in the recent Slovakia match and was also Morocco's leading scorer in this year's African Nations Championship. Josh, pop quiz for you. Things I learned in researching African nations for the World Cup. You've got the tournament I think we're more familiar with, the African Cup of Nations.
The world's largest international tournament?
Yep.
And then
you have the African Nations Championship. What's the difference? The African Nations Championship, in which our man, Ayoub El Kabi, scored 9 goals, only players who play in Africa's domestic leagues can participate in the African Nations Championship. Other interesting differentials. I get the sense that Morocco might be a good cheap defender team. Mm-hmm. So we've got a veteran 34 year a veteran 31-year-old defender from Juventus, Mehdi Benatia. And also on the younger side, 19-year-old Achraf Hakimi, who is the understudy for Marcelo and Carvajal at Real Madrid.
Hmm. Okay. All right. So it's interesting options. Morocco, to me, I feel like, you know, I feel like everyone's just penciling Spain and Portugal into the next round here. But I do wonder if Morocco in particular could sneak past them. I don't see Spain. It's hard for me to imagine Spain not getting out of this group. But, yeah, I mean, if Portugal loses badly in that first game to Spain, I mean, they could really be up against it. So,
yeah, and back to what I was saying about Iran, I mean, just shooting from the hip here. Is match fitness going to be an issue for them? I think Morocco, you're right, stands out as the possible wild card here.
Brandon, let's take a quick break, and we'll get back with groups C and D.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Brandon, we're back. Group C. Group C is a good one, Brandon. This is maybe the most fun group of all the World Cup groups in history.
Wow, yeah, that's great.
The beginning of the World Cup. Yeah, I know. Starts here with France. Their FIFA rank is 7. They are Les Bleus. Or is it Le Bleu?
Le Bleu.
I don't know. Le Bleu.
That was pretty good.
Never took French. That was pretty good. World Cup history, of course, they won the 1988 World Cup. They runners up in 2006, finished in third place in 58, which we all remember, of course, and 86, which we don't remember quite as well. Brandon, they are so insanely loaded. They have won their last three friendlies with goals from all over. Griezmann scored a goal. Dembele scored a goal. Giroud scored a goal. Pogba scored a goal. Mbappe. It's a Manchester City style attack. I mean, yeah. There is, you know, it's like from a fantasy perspective, you know, it's hard to know which player you want from the squad, but you've got to have one of them.
Yeah.
And I'll go backwards here from the forwards back to the defense. So you have Antoine Griezmann who, you know, I mean, everyone who follows international football at all is aware that he's, you know, fantastic player, star striker for Atletico Madrid.
Say you're a Spanish person and you just follow domestic football. You've probably heard of him.
Definitely in that case. Yeah. Domestic or international. I'm just flying right now, Brent. I gotta take a breath here. Yeah.
You're vibing. Yeah.
He was the top scorer in Euro 26, scored 29 goals and 15 assists in 49 games for Atletico this season. That is kind of amazing considering that Atletico, mm-hmm. you know, tends to set up pretty defensively. That is just a huge, huge haul. 20 goals and 53 caps for France. Now, you know, now they're talking about Griezmann maybe going to Man United, this offseason too. So, we'll see what happens there. I think he is a strong pick for the Golden Boot winner, Brandon. That is my bet of the that's my early bet for the tournament. Griezmann.
Okay,
Golden Boot
insert Golden Boot prediction sound effect here.
Then we have Kylian Mbappe, who should line up with him as well. 21 goals, 16 assists, and 46 appearances for PSG this season. You know, young, super highly rated player. You look at the midfield. I mean, you've got Conte, you know, Conte and Pogba, who everyone who follows the Premier League, you know, knows. You know, I wouldn't count on attacking returns from either of them. I mean, obviously not Conte, but even Pogba. I just think with the attacking options in this squad, I just don't see him being counted on to be. I mean, he'll like probably take some free kicks or whatever, like he always does, and sky it 30 feet over the bar. But you know, I don't see him as a great attacking asset. You've got Matuidi, who's you know, Juve midfielder, 9 goals and 66 caps for France.
Blaise Matuidi might be a footballer most likely to also have like a grimy rap album in Southern California. Like, that is a terrific rap name, Blaise Matuidi.
That is a great rap. Yeah, that is a fantastic name. Thomas, is it Lamar or Lemar? I can't remember.
I think it's Lamar. Yeah.
Yeah, Lamar. He dropped off after a big 2016-17 season. I have to think all the stuff that happened with Arsenal, where he sort of went back and forth on whether he was going to go, and only has had 3 goals and 10 assists and 38 appearances for Monaco this season. So probably stay away from Lamar or Lemar. In defense, Benjamin Mendy, great player and attacker, but probably not at full strength. I only bring him up because it might be tempting to bring him in because we all know that he has, you know, a lot of attacking threat, but I would plan to stay away. So they have, a pretty reasonable group. They play Australia, Peru, and Denmark, and I find it hard to see them not winning this group. I could see maybe Denmark, gets them to first, but I see a lot of goals from this team, and I mean they're really crazy talented. I mean I'm not actually sure that I see them winning the whole thing, but they're the kind of team that just on talent alone is going to get out of the group stage.
Yeah, I agree. You wonder about how young this team is. I mean, there are some more players more experienced than most, but these great players like Mbappe and Pogba, for all intents and purposes, is still kind of a young player for this stage, given what he's
international game's different. Yeah,
yeah. So you wonder if they're going to get the Belgium treatment in World Cup 2022.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible, but they are even more talented than that Belgium team was. I mean, I don't know. I think that, I think that they're definitely a dark horse to win the whole tournament, and just on talent alone. So,
cool.
And then they've got, our favorite Hugo Lloris backing him up, who had a pretty terrible season. But, I still think he's a great keeper. He just had a weird, I don't know why he was so shaky this year.
Yeah, maybe his shorts were too big.
And that's probably what it was. He needs, get a smaller pair of
Umbros. He needs smaller shorts. Get smaller shorts, Hugo.
All right, Australia, FIFA rank number 40. They are the Socceroos, one of the great international nicknames.
All right, nice little pouches on the front of their shirts.
Mm-hmm, yeah, they're that's one of the nicknames you probably knew going into this podcast. Most people did.
Did you ever wear these tennis shoes when you were a little kid, Kangaroos or Roos, and they were called, they were branded as Kangaroo shoes because they all had little zipper pockets on them?
Sounds familiar. I
expended
know.
So much mental energy as a 7-year-old trying to figure out what I was meant to put in a pocket on a shoe.
Yeah, what do you, the toothpick? I don't know. Yeah,
it was usually a nickel.
There's enough room for a nickel. Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Socceroos, World Cup mainstay of late, not a lot to show for it. They did make the round of 16 in 2006. Finished 21st in 2010, 30th in 2014. They have some players that you've heard of. It's always kind of fun, right? When you actually know a couple players.
Hey, I know you. It's like going to a party and you don't think you're going to know anybody, but then suddenly you do.
So I have read that there are some concerns about the Australia defense, but they have kept clean sheets in the last two matches. They played Colombia and the Czech Republic. Matt Ryan is their keeper. He had a terrific season at Brighton. And I don't think he wasn't very highly rated going into the season, but I think he really impressed a lot of us. I was impressed. Were you impressed, Brandon?
I was blown away. Well, didn't they pay quite a bit of money for him? Yeah, I think he was one of their.
It was insane.
it was like Gareth Bale-esque money. No, I thought
broke the Premier League transfer record.
I thought he was a sensational keeper for Brighton. I think you could attribute, a number of points just to his save, so, or his play.
Trent Sainsbury is Australia's best center back. That's what The Guardian tells me, and that's all I can tell you about Trent Sainsbury. So trust The Guardian. If you have not gone to The Guardian, has this fantastic player by player preview, group by group, team by team. It's the nicest one I've seen. It's definitely the most well designed, really clean, easy to go through. I don't know if you've looked at it yet, Brandon, but it's really
I have. It is amazing. Yeah, just go to your web browser and type in Guardian World Cup players. It'll come right up. It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So much research went into it.
Yeah, even if you're not planning to be hardcore about fantasy this summer, it's just fun to read about all the different players, and they all have. I just love reading about this kind of stuff. I actually bought a magazine today, Brandon. I never do that. I bought, this Soccer 360 magazine because they had this huge World Cup preview, and I was like, I'm just gonna read it. I'm just gonna read the whole thing, and I'm going all in right now. I'm so pumped about the World Cup.
Print media, even, that's incredible.
I know, exactly. It was expensive. Magazines are too expensive. It's like this. It's really
they're not free.
I know. It's like it was $10. $10 for a magazine. Are you kidding
that's
me?
Too much. That's not a magazine. That's a book.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say like $4.99 or something. I mean, that would have been fine. Even $7.99 would have been okay. In the midfield, you have Aaron Moy, who played quite well for Huddersfield all year.
How many magazines do you think Aaron Moy subscribes to at home? Or his wife?
Redbook.
Five?
Sure. Redbook and Cosmopolitan.
Redbook. Okay.
Yeah. You think he gets the New Yorker? I don't know.
He's a New York Magazine guy. He likes to keep it a little more middle brow.
Half step down, yeah.
Yeah. All right, sorry. I'm screwing this all up.
No, it's fine.
Aaron Moy.
He played well for Huddersfield this year. Not like a huge, he's a fulcrum of the attack. Not massive in goals or assists, although I think we could see that jump up for Australia. And Mila Jedinek is another player who isn't necessarily a huge goal scorer. He's actually playing for Aston Villa this season. Massive.
His beard
right
has
now,
taken on like just it's prolific.
It's glorious. Almost made me root for Aston Villa in that playoff final because his beard was so great. But he has 18 goals in 75 caps. I suspect he's still on pens as well. And I just thought it was a lot of fun that Tim Cahill still plays for Australia. He has 50 goals and 105 caps, but he is 38 years old. So
38, my God. I would have guessed he was 41, but what do I know?
Yeah. Hello? Yeah. I mean, he's in shape. You know, he still plays in MLS, doesn't he?
No, he plays for Millwall in the Championship.
Is that right?
I don't know how much.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how much playing time he actually gets for them, but yeah, he's in Millwall.
Did you just pull that out? Did you know that, or that's amazing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know these weird facts because I was following and supporting a team in the Championship, and Millwall had a really great season, and they were vying for playoff. They were vying for a playoff spot, and there was a match in which Fulham had to go to Millwall, the Den, to get, and they needed a result just as much as Millwall did. And somehow I got embroiled in all this. Now I have Millwall knowledge. Here we are.
The only other player I'll note here is Matthew Lecky. He's a Hertha Berlin scorer. He scored 2 goals in their most recent friendly versus Czech Republic, 8 goals and 52 caps for Australia. So not a team that I would necessarily be looking to bring in players for my fantasy squad. Although Matt Ryan actually might be a decent option as a keeper, just because 3 saves do count as a point in this game, like they do in the fantasy game. So if you want to rack up some points, then maybe they sneak out a clean sheet somewhere. Maybe against
here's some juice for you.
Yep.
You want some juice?
Yep.
How much do you want to put down on who scores fewer goals in this tournament, Saudi Arabia or Australia?
Oh, fewer goals. I'll go with Saudi Arabia for sure.
Okay, you think it's Australia? I'll go Australia. Well, I'll bet you a dollar.
The dollar bet is on. Juice, so great. Brandon, let's move on to Peru. We got 2 more squads in Group C. Peru's FIFA rank is 11. They are La Blanquería, the white and red. They have the best kit. I will not listen to arguments against it. I think I'm gonna pull it up again just so I can see the kit.
Just look at it.
Good looking kit, right?
It's a great looking kit. While you're looking that up, we have some predictions that came in from our listeners, and Tom Campbell predicts that Peru will become everyone's second team. Peru is getting a lot of love in the build up to this tournament. Some great narratives. The whole doping scandal with their striker, I'm blanking on his name, and
Paulo Guerrero.
Those charges were dropped. Yeah.
Guerrero. Yep. So, yeah, Peru, they're actually, I'll do Tom one better. They might be my first favorite team. And, I mean, we don't have the U.S. to root for, Brandon. So it's like, for us, it's like I'm rooting for like Egypt and Iceland and Peru. And,
Japan down when I was filling out my McDonald's game account. Mm-hmm. I put Japan down.
I think I'm all in on Peru. All right. Okay. So Peru, FIFA rank number 11, pretty high, surprisingly high. It's their first World Cup since 1982. I've mentioned their kit, but go look that up if you haven't seen it. They've won all four friendlies that they played this year. Paulo Guerrero, the player you mentioned before, had a brace in their most recent friendly versus Saudi Arabia. Their defense, I don't see any standout options there. Two players in midfield to keep an eye on. One is Edison Flores, who is a 5'5 attacking midfielder.
You love a short guy.
I do love a short guy. I love a Shaqiri type. 9 goals in 26 caps. And
not bad.
Just everything I've read about him, he's really highly rated. I like a player named Edison, too. It's a fun name, Edison. Mm-hmm. Christian Cueva is
great inventor, great footballer.
Exactly. Is that where the Edison name comes from, I wonder? So Edison Cavani. I know that's with an N, but still.
No idea. It's an interesting theory.
Christian Cueva, 8 goals and 43 caps. Here's a fun fact for you, Brandon. He has played more minutes under Peru's manager, Ricardo Garcia, than any other player. So do with that what you will.
Okay.
And then the other player in Peru to look at, maybe an interesting third forward option, is Paulo Guerrero. He's their all-time top goal scorer. The Copa America Golden Boot winner in 2011 and 2015. He's 34 years old, and he plays for the Brazilian squad Flamengo. And he's got 34 goals in 11 caps. How is that for some fun facts?
87 caps. Knowledge. That's amazing. Great, yeah. Great research on Peru. I'm into it. I would like to see Peru do well in this group, and I think I think them against Australia, hopefully their defense stays strong and I can win my dollar.
We'll see. Final group in Group C is Denmark, FIFA rank number 12. Their nickname, as we all know, is Danish Dynamite. They have obviously. Some reasonably good World Cup performances, although they did not qualify in 2014. Though for our American listeners, they did win Euro 92. So if you're an American, didn't know that, they did win Euro 92.
Now you know.
They have been held scoreless in their last two friendlies. That is maybe a bit of concern, although I will note that Christian Eriksen scored at least one goal in 7 of their 8 matches in 2017. That includes a hat trick against Ireland. The whole offense is being run through Christian Eriksen. Christian Eriksen, to me, is maybe after one of those Uruguayan strikers, the player you absolutely want to have in your squad for World Cup fantasy. I mean, he's just going to, I really think he's going to perform well. He's pretty, I feel like he's pretty cool under pressure, too. So, I don't see the stage getting to him. Other players to look at.
He's if you will, a little stick of Danish dynamite.
He exemplifies Danish dynamite to a T. You've got Kasper Schmeichel, of course. Everybody loves Kasper Schmeichel. Not the best season for Leicester, but that defense kind of let him down a little bit too.
Yeah.
And defense is getting pretty old. I mean, Wes Morgan is 36 now. Yeah.
He's not as old as Tim Cahill.
Simon Kjaer, is that how you say his name?
Seems right.
He is the team captain, plays for Sevilla. He's got 3 goals and 77 caps. Maybe a defensive option for you there. And then don't forget Zanka, Brandon.
Zanka. Probably Zanka. The Huddersfield player. There's a whole list of Huddersfield players that sort of crossed my view, but I never brought into my FPL team. Zanka is one of them. Schindler, another one.
Yeah, Hogg. There are a lot of fun Huddersfield players this year. Then midfield, you've got Eriksen is the player to watch, obviously, with 21 goals and 77 caps. And then the forward line, Nikolai Jorgensen with 8 goals and 30 caps. He was the top scorer in the Eredivisie in 2016-17. Maybe he's going to maybe get his head on a couple of those Christian Eriksen free kicks.
Yeah. Shall we move on to Group D?
Let's do it.
Group D for Brandon. There's a D in my name.
It's not bad.
So I think some people are classifying Group D as the group of death, D for death. and there are a number of teams that may or may not make it out of this group. Like they all have a lot of potential, but for various reasons, all of these teams also have very legitimate reasons why they might collapse in the group stage. So we'll start with Argentina. Los Gauchos, the Cowmen. I believe that's the name of a band that I've heard of once. So I do my best to not confuse Argentina's national team with a band on SoundCloud. ranked number five in the world. Of course, Argentina's most recent memory of the World Cup is losing an extra time to Mario Götze. Fat Mario, one of those very peculiar players that, you know, he's not actually fat, but he looks fat. Sort of like a Frank Lampard
chubby
situation.
Chubby face. Yep.
Yeah.
I never thought Lampard looked fat.
Nah, me either. I'm a Lampard truther. Qualification, not a breeze for Argentina. They finished behind Brazil and Uruguay, but as you were mentioning about Uruguay, Josh, they are stacked. Brazil also has a fantastic team. So, and they mentioned this on the, I think it was the Totally Football show about how qualification in South America is like legendarily difficult. All the crazy altitude that you have to deal with, and
Chile not making it is insane. I mean,
unless we forget, like, so many of these players are so good. They're of course playing in the best leagues in Europe. Travel for them to play these qualifiers all the way. And I mean, everyone's doing traveling, but I think the South American players bear one of the bigger burdens. So Messi is LeBroning it here. They crushed Haiti last week. Messi scored a hat trick. But beyond that, they haven't played too many matches since a run of friendlies in March. So have they had enough time on the training pitch to get some squad togetherness, some tactical acumen? They have no real goalkeeper to look at. Sergio Romero from Manchester United pulled out with an injury. So this is a pretty remarkable stat on Argentinian goalkeepers. They are bringing three goalkeepers to Russia, and none of them have more than 10 caps for the national team. 36-year-old Willy Caballero from now backup at Chelsea.
Yeah.
He got his first cap in March, like just a few months ago, 36-year-old. So that's amazing. That's how dire things are with the defense in Argentina. And with Otamendi and Fazio in central midfield, I don't think anyone's pegging Argentina to keep a lot of clean sheets here. So, of course, we're looking up front. Higuain seems like he's likely to start. I mean, this is one of the mysteries of modern football, why Sergio Aguero has never been able to get Higuain out of that starting spot.
It's weird. And Higuain is like famous for like fluffing the ball in huge situations too. So
yeah, when he's good, he's good, and when he's not, he's just like flagrantly not.
Yeah, like didn't they struggle to score goals like in that entire 2014 World Cup? And they had like one of the Aguero, like, you know, one of the great pure strikers, pure goal scorers, and then, you know, in football. So, yeah, it's weird.
It's strange. You get the sense there's a ton of political intrigue in the squad. Dybala, the young guy who plays for Juventus, there's public feuding between him and Messi, and how Messi doesn't want to play with him because he tries to occupy the same space as Messi likes to occupy.
Yeah, it's like the Friends team, but the pieces don't seem to fit together as well. You know, and it's like and everyone just sees Messi and thinks that it's all going to work out. But there's really no reason to think that they. I don't know. You know, no reason to think they're just going to all of a sudden, like, for the first time, pull it all together, is it? I mean, Messi, like, tried to retire, you know? I mean, I know he just scored a hat trick and a friendly for them, but, yeah, it's a strange one.
Yeah. So, Di Maria and Lanzini, other attacking players in the midfield, but only because I was watching this game at Cock and Bull, the bar in Midtown that is right next to your office, Josh. Argentina beat Italy in a friendly 2-0, and Ever Banega scored this really nice. The strike that he put on the ball wasn't as good as the great build-up pass and move that Argentina had leading up to this goal. But just because I saw him score a goal live on television, I am saying everyone check out Ever Banega, 29-year-old attacking mid from Sevilla. So there you go. Moving on to Croatia, nobody really seems too hype on Croatia, despite them having some terrific players, Luka Modric among them. I don't know if this is some weird co-branding with the Men in Blazers podcast, but Croatia's nickname, The Blazers.
Wow.
Yeah. Ranked 18 in the world.
Great kit. I've always liked the Croatian kit.
Oh, totally agree. Soft spot for Croatia for me. The Blazers.
I still feel like they were sort of disappointing in Euro 2016. They kind of had this clear path, at least to the semifinals, and they kind of blew it. And I feel like I'm still holding that against them a little bit. Like I don't trust them after that.
Speaking of blowing it, here's another small global tournament that I learned about during this research. The China Cup, which took place in January. The China Cup, how many teams do you think participate in the China Cup, Josh?
Three.
Close. Four. So you had Chile, Iceland, Croatia, and then, of course, China. So Croatia.
Four corners of the globe.
The four corners of the globe. So they lost the China Cup. I think that's a bad omen for this World Cup. I think they're totally going to just like dissolve when all the bad memories of the China Cup come back. They have not been able to score as of late. They were scoreless against Brazil last week, getting clobbered 2-0 by them. And their last tune-up is this Friday. Probably as people are listening to it, they'll be playing Senegal in their last tune-up. I've come along around to Dejan Lovren after his kind of like nightmare season at Liverpool. I think he played really well, all things considered, in the Champions League final.
Mm-hmm. Down the stretch in general, he played pretty well. After that awful... He played an awful game against Spurs. It was a game that was so bad he got pulled in like the 33rd minute. And yeah, since then, he's been considerably better.
If you're just a regular...
Injury, little injury prone.
If you're just a regular guy, though, or gal, how can you not look at Dejan Lovren and see, like... There's just something kind of very human and heroic about somebody failing so epically. I mean, not Lars Karius levels of epically bad, but still coming back and performing week after week. I think it's very admirable. So as I mentioned at the top of the pod, this is the army of itches, Perisic, Rakitic, Modric, Mandzukic. They're all good, but there does seem to be concern about them actually wanting to put a result together and playing well in this tournament. The one to look out for here, maybe if you're looking to pad out your lineup of strikers, Andrej Kramaric, the 26-year-old striker at Hoffenheim. He was a failure at Leicester City, the season in which Leicester won the league. And I think he only got two starts for Leicester City during that season before they shipped him off to Hoffenheim, where he has grown, and he has scored 28 goals for Hoffenheim since. So I think some predicting that Kramaric might be the one to score the goals as they come through with Luka Modric in the midfield.
Okay, all right.
Okay, two more teams. Iceland, our boys. I love this. This is a nickname only for Icelandic people.
It's a great team name. It was also a great show on TBS a couple of years ago. Works.
Oh, is that the Jim Gaffigan show?
Yeah. Excellent. I actually think it was called My Boys, but yeah.
Close enough. All right, FIFA rank number 22, runners up at the 2017 China Cup. So wow. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Josh. They're coming off an exciting 2016 Euros in which they are legends for beating England and poor Roy Hodgson putting him out of the job. Then they were subsequently crushed by France. I think it was 5-2 was the final score there. So they have lost three friendlies in the last couple of weeks. They drew against Ghana today. But one thing that is reassuring about these build-up matches to the World Cup is they're scoring goals in all of them. So one worry you wouldn't have about Iceland is that they're prolific in goal scoring. So I'm looking to Iceland fantasy-wise for attacking players. Gylfi looks like he's back. He came on as a sub last week and scored a goal. It was a rebounded goal, but it was a nice little dink over the keeper. So you at least saw some culture from Gylfi, have even just coming back from injury, he's still got that
blown away that by magic touch. Iceland. People are getting more Iceland knowledge than you were from like the Totally Football podcast. This is incredible.
Yeah, right.
Dive in Iceland.
And Gylfi started today in the match against Ghana. So it looks like he is in some way, shape, or form getting to match fitness ahead of the World Cup.
Okay.
One other guy I want to mention real quick who has been scoring goals for him. He has a Hobbit-like name. Like, it's like Fingenbottom or something like that. Fingbogason. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Fingbogason. He's my man.
Fimbogus's son. That's how it works nicely.
Absolutely. Don't forget about the Goodmansons, Burnley's Johan Berg Goodmanson, and another Goodmanson whose name is Albert. So an Icelandic person named Albert, you gotta love it. Nigeria. Yeah,
Albert Goodmanson, I think, is a decent fantasy option.
I
played really well for Burnley this year.
Yeah, and Johan has also been scoring goals for Iceland. More importantly, I mean, he's great on set pieces. You do wonder how many of those Gylfi is actually going to be taking himself, but depending on how the pricing works out, maybe Johan is the way to go. All right, real quick, the last team in Group D, it's Nigeria, the Super Eagles, ranked 47 in the world. They made it out of the group stage in 2014, only to lose to France. And they have an attacking lineup going into the World Cup that is a veritable who's who of flash-in-the-pan FPL assets. Let me read them out for you, Josh. Now, Victor Moses, we could argue about that one. Victor Moses has had some staying power.
Borderline good player. Yeah.
And he did take a penalty against Poland back in February, which I think is interesting. Hmm. Alex Iwobi for Arsenal, he's probably been one of their more prolific attacking players over the last couple of months. Mm-hmm. But then you get into
probably better down the stretch for Arsenal.
Yeah, I think the theory about Alex Iwobi is that he does really step up into a bigger role, a more leadership role when he's playing for his country. So I do think he's interesting heading into World Cup. Odion Ighalo, former Watford wonderkind, moved to China.
Yeah.
And
Chinese legend.
Now he is a Chinese legend. And Iheanacho, Man City player, now at Leicester. There is a huge Leicester contingent now at Nigeria. You've got Iheanacho and connecting in the midfield. It's Wilfred Ndidi and Ahmed Musa.
Wow. Yeah, how do you like that? That I feel like that does bode well, right? That seems like a good you want that kind of connection there, right? That,
I think
like,
so.
That's
how team chemistry works if you're playing FIFA Ultimate on the video game.
Yeah.
You get guys from the same country who also play at the same club, your chemistry is just gonna go sky high.
Yeah, that makes sense.
John Obi Mikel, who you mentioned earlier in the podcast, who I didn't know who you were talking about, because I usually say Obi Mikel John or Obi John Mikel. I can never.
It's like all over the place, right? I've seen it spelled both ways.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
84 caps for Nigeria, by all accounts. The midfield really hinges upon his control. He feels like he's been around forever. If you were not looking at the running order, how old would you have guessed that John Obi Mikel is?
How old is Tim Cahill?
38.
I would guess like 38.
Yeah, he's 31 years old, so he's still got life in those legs.
Yeah, well done. Well done, John Obi Mikel.
So,
however you say your name.
Yeah. Knowing what you now know about Nigeria, I mean, take what you now know about Iceland with a grain of salt. How do you feel about Nigeria's chances in this group?
Well, you know, the Leicester connection is changing my thoughts a little bit on this. I mean, it's a weird group. I mean, okay, yeah, Argentina's probably going to qualify out of there. I might lean towards Nigeria now, to be honest. But I don't know if that's just my Premier League bias getting in the way, right? Like, I mean, Croatia, to me, is the team that should get out of this group, right? Just based on their... I mean, we barely talked about... About Mario Mandzukic, right? I mean, you know, guy scored an overhead kick goal in the Champions League final a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of talent on that squad. But I don't know. Yeah, I think I'm kind of coming around to Nigeria as the second place team in this group.
For whatever reason, there's just a huge amount of concern about Croatia. While they have the talent, something's just wrong with the association and the politics behind the scenes. And yeah, I don't know. But I mean, Barcelona midfielder and Rakitic and Luka Modric both playing at the two best teams in Europe by some distance. So yeah, you
got to give them some talent alone. But you know, the World Cup's not always about talent, Brandon.
No.
I can't believe you don't know this. I can't believe I'm telling you this. You know, you've never heard this before. All right. Well, that's four groups. That was a lot of talking. I'm not used to it. You know, I had to put a lot of words in front of each other.
Yeah. I need a glass of water now.
Yeah. I need to finish this beer.
For sure. The beer is not hydrating me.
All right. So we're going to let you go, folks. Let's do one last question here, Brandon. Tashi C says, if you were gambling men, which we are, who would you put your money on to win the World Cup? Let's just leave it at that.
Now, I don't have the odds in front of me, but as of this podcast, I'm picking Brazil to win the World Cup.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am really in the fence. I'm kind of leaning towards France, actually.
Okay.
Which seems a slightly risky pick, but I guess I'm just blown away by their talent, and I feel like if it all comes together, I mean, having like Olivier Giroud as a possible super sub, I just like the way that team like all fits.
Yeah.
You know. So
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Brandon, where can people find our podcast?
They can find our podcast pretty much anywhere. Well, no, exactly anywhere you get podcasts. So go to Apple Podcasts, your iTunes store, Google Play, Stitcher, follow us on SoundCloud. And most importantly, if we can ask you a favor, it costs you nothing, and it really does help us. If you have a second, just go to Always Cheating in the iTunes podcast store and give us a review and a rating. 5 stars, please. It really does help us a lot, and it makes Josh feel good inside, which is really important to
me. It makes you feel much better. You love that. I do like it.
So we really appreciate your feedback. And if you have feedback beyond just giving us 5 stars, Josh, people can find us in social media exactly where?
That's right. Twitter. We're Hail Cheaters on Twitter. That's H-A-I-L Cheaters. We're Facebook.com/AlwaysCheating. You can also just go to AlwaysCheating.com. Perhaps most importantly, you can support the podcast and get a lot of stuff for yourself by going to our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/alwayscheating. Lots of different pledge levels there, lots of different ways to show your support for the podcast, and we very much appreciate it. But even if you just want to listen, we appreciate that too. And we're excited to be doing World Cup pods. We're not going to be doing them, you know, every 2 days or whatever, but we're going to do a group E through H, you know, either this weekend or early next week. And then we'll do, you know, some standard podcasts in between the game weeks as much as we can. It comes pretty fast and furious. You know, it's not like the Premier League. We've got a whole week to recover. So I don't think we're going to be able to get every single game week. But,
no.
You know, we'll certainly pop in and keep tabs and things, update people on the leagues.
The old World Cup pop-in.
The old World Cup pop-in. All right, that's it.
Okay.
Hail John McCall Obi, or John Obi McCall. Yeah.
J-O-M. Hail John.
I'm looking right here. John, variously known on Wikipedia as John Obi McCall, John McCall Obi, or McCall John Obi. How is that possible?
he's like Banksy. He's just messing with us at this point. All right. Hail Obi, McCall John.
Hail Obi. Yep, exactly. All right. Talk to you soon, Brennan.
Bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.